Good morning and welcome. This is Heidi Hahn-Scott, your weight loss mentor for the Right Body, Right Life 12-week journey. It's fantastic to have you on the call today. I'm so excited to dive in and go a little deeper with some of the things we talked about last week and just support you in your journey. So we went over last week the concepts, and we didn't get through all of them. We got through 7, I believe, and there are a couple more. So we're going to go over some of the concepts at a deeper level. We'll also go over the other 2 because there's 9, and we will go over the secret to moving from bondage to freedom with food and the naked truth on how long it actually takes to have mastery in this area of your life. We'll also go over the 5 stages of grief and how that applies to lifestyle change. People always think of the 5 stages of grief as it applies to death, but any time that we have a change in our life or we have a loss of something, even if it's something good, we still go through the grieving process to a degree. And so we'll dive into that a bit deeper as well on today's call. Good morning.
Good morning. Hello, hello, hello.
Great to hear all your voices and glad you're all on the call. So I'd love to open by a beautiful reading. And if you remember last week, concept number 1 is one day at a time. And I learned this in 12 steps. This is not mine. This is something that came from Alcoholics Anonymous in the beginning, and they use it in every 12-step program. But in all the spiritual texts that I've read over the years, this is also a common theme, and it teaches acceptance, it teaches happiness in your life. Truly, it's the key to happiness. And so I'm going to share that with you and then share the ways that I've adapted it and ways that you can adapt it to any behavior change, and it's really the key to lasting behavior change as well. So I'll open with this beautiful reading that is through 12 steps. It's called Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow. There are 2 days in every week about which we should not worry. 2 days which should be kept from fear and apprehension. One of these days is yesterday, with its mistakes and cares, its faults and blunders, its aches and pains. Yesterday has passed forever beyond our control. All the many in the world cannot bring back yesterday. We cannot undo a single act we performed. We cannot erase a single word we said. Yesterday is gone. The other day, which we should not worry about, is tomorrow, with its possible adversities, its burdens, its large promise and poor performance. Tomorrow is also beyond our immediate control. Tomorrow's sun will rise, either in splendor or behind a mask of clouds, but it will rise. And until it does, we have no stake in tomorrow, for it is yet unborn. This leaves only one day, today, and any man or woman can fight the battle of just one day. It is only when you and I add the burdens of these 2 awful eternities, yesterday and tomorrow, that we break down. It is not the experience of today that drives us mad. It is the remorse or bitterness for something which happened yesterday and the dread of what tomorrow may bring. And therefore, let us live but one day at a time. There's another shorter one that I love, and it says, just for today, I will try to live through this day only and not tackle my whole life problem at once. I can do something for 12 hours that would appall me if I felt that I had to keep it up for a lifetime. So how is this pertinent to what we're doing? The concept number 1, one day at a time. I think the reading speaks for itself. When we think, oh, I have to do this forever, whatever it is that we're doing, it's too long and it's burdenous. And then how does this apply to food in the past? You know, if yesterday we messed up and we ate things we didn't want to eat or whatnot, we can stay stuck in that depression over that because we're judging what we did yesterday. But if we truly live in today, and I use this as when I get up in the morning, surrendering to whatever commitment it is I'm doing that day, and then no matter what, hitting the pillow, having made that commitment. This can be around food, like you commit to eating the basic program just for today, And then no matter what, you can tell yourself, oh, tomorrow I'll do something different, but today I'm really going to stick with what I planned. And I've used this with every kind of behavior, you know, even with relational behaviors, like talking to my husband in a tone or the kids in a tone, and just for today I'm not going to use that tone, or I'm going to pause before I open my mouth. Whatever it is that you're learning to practice in your life, a new behavior, using this one day at a time tool is amazing and fantastic. And guess what? One day at a time, these new behavior changes can add up to years, and they do. So I think that that is an amazing tool, and I ask you to play with it and embody it and embrace it and one day at a time change the behaviors that no longer serve you, the behaviors that no longer meet your vision, the behaviors that give you the results that you don't want. Does anybody have any comments or questions on that concept?
Good morning. I just want to say that I really appreciate the readings that you just did, and just a reminder that, you know, I don't have to think about like the end result or down the road, that I really can just stay, you know, present in the moment. And honestly, it feels like when I hear you reading that, in a way it takes the pressure off, you know, because I don't have to think about, oh, I have to do this forever, you know, or I don't have to do this for 90 days or a year. It's like I really just have to get up today and I have to do it today, you know, whatever it is that I'm committing to. And it just really, for me, that concept just takes the pressure off. So I just want to say I really appreciate the reading.
Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing. And I think that it does take the pressure off, because too much is too much. And in looking at that, too, I heard this said, and I love this as a monitor of looking where you're at. When we're stuck in the past too much, it causes depression. When we're in the future too much, it causes anxiety. And when we're present, that's really when we have true serenity and happiness. And like I said, all spiritual texts, they teach presence, you know, being in the moment. And this one day at a time concept is a physical way to practice that. And it can help you and will help you in many areas of your life. So in lieu of that, I want to keep the lightness around that, because this can only be done one day at a time. But there are factual things in the neuroscience of our brain that it does take time to change habits. It does take time to heal. So doing it one day at a time gives you that relief, that increment that's doable. But I'm going to share with you right now the naked truth of how long it really takes your brain to change in a way that you can have mastery. And mastery to me means that it's automatic. It's just like it's just like breathing. It's just like riding a bike. If you've ever learned something new that felt very uncomfortable and awkward in the beginning, but now when you pick it up or you do that activity, it's automatic. That's what I mean by mastery. So 95% of people who try diets fail. The 5% of people who succeed do so because they stick to their new habits for 3 years, and then it becomes instinct. So how do we do that? We do that by a daily design for living. So I introduced that whole concept of putting your daily program together, the program that can get you to 3 years. What is it that you need to do one day at a time that can add up to this mastery? So I know there's a lot of talk around it takes 30 days to change a habit. I don't know who scientifically researched that, but I haven't found it to be totally true. What I have found to be true is 40 days it takes, you know, 30 to 40 days to embody a new experience, to increase the capacity and begin forming a new habit. It's not ingrained. It's not automatic, but it's opening yourself to that capacity to have the new habit. The second increment of time is 90 days of a new practice. And what this 90 days does is clear out our subconscious blocks, and it helps build the new habit. So really 90 days to build that new habit. We have unconscious blocks, and that's what, or subconscious blocks, and that's what takes us back to that automatic thing that we were doing before. Whatever behavior it is, we go right back to it. And so you have to give yourself a chance. And so by using the concept of one day at a time and getting through the day, slowly those days add up. And then you're giving yourself a chance. You're getting this automatic in your brain. You're truly changing the behavior from the inside out. 120 days is to realize the new habit and the awareness of it in your life. So after 120 days, you're really seeing the results. You're getting the payoff. Your brain's really changing. You're changing those neural pathways. And the truth is after 1,000 days of discipline, you have newfound awareness, you have complete mastery, meaning it's just automatic. This new habit is so embedded in your active consciousness that you'll be able to continue this new habit beyond every life experience, change, and challenge, and circumstance. So once you've done something for this 1,000 days, whatever the practice is, like exercise or eating in a way that you want to eat or talking different to people or pausing before you react, any practice that you're doing, any behavior that you're changing, once you've done it one day at a time, sometimes 1 minute at a time, 1 hour at a time, but once you've done this and it's added up, it's completely automatic. So if you go through a move, if you lose your business, if you have major happiness in your life, if you have major pain in your life, you lose a loved one, you get a divorce, whatever it is, you have mastery in that area so it doesn't rock that behavior. Up until then, it's a bit gentle. You need a lot of support to get through that day because it's not embedded yet. So that's the part of the program for daily living that I want you guys to design as we're doing this program for yourself. Like, what things can strengthen your muscle to reach your commitment, to stick with your commitment for your new healthy, thin body for life, one day at a time, so that you can reach mastery? Because it does get easy. I've experienced it, and I've backslid, and I've experienced it again. And it is the easier way. I promise you that. I've done the research. After 1,000 days, it's just like riding a bike or just like brushing your teeth or whatever your habits are that you do pretty much without thinking. You can have any behavior in your life become that. So the willingness comes are, what are you willing to do to change that behavior? And that, you know, we started this course with looking at your vision, and then what are the behaviors or actions that back up that vision? What are the things you need to do on a daily basis that gives you the results you want? How can you get the support that you need for that? So we introduced a few things last week that help you continue to have that support that you need. I'm just going to read through the concepts again. Concept 2 was having a buddy. Concept 3 was community or social support. Concept 4, commitment and vision. Commitment is so big. You have to be willing to do anything to match your commitment. Concept 5 is daily practice and schedule. So really allowing yourself the time for the new practice that you're doing. Concept 6, what tools work for you on a daily basis, your own program. Concept 7 is huge, having your needs clear and getting them met, getting more and more clear on what your needs are. Concept 8, which is new to this call, we didn't go over this last week, is support and accountability. They've proven over and over and over again that when you do a new behavior alone, when you, especially dieting or food or changing your lifestyle with your health, when you do not have support, you stick to it for a week or 2 weeks or 3 days, and then back and forth, back and forth, and back and forth. So support and accountability really allows you to have accountability. It's huge. You know, you're committing to someone else, and then there's something in the human DNA that loves a team or loves that accountability and doesn't want to let someone else down. And so that's why I really encourage you guys to work with each other, to speak with each other, to root each other on. And that's why committing your food to yourself or writing it down also makes accountability. But support is huge, and you are getting support. By signing up for this program, you decided, yes, I'm getting support. Individual support is so important because you can really look at your particular things, your particular obstacles, and really troubleshoot and get over those hurdles and obstacles and get on the right station that you're wanting to be on so that you can embrace these day-to-day tools that give you success year after year. And I'm wondering if there's anybody on the call that has had several resonance repatterning sessions or done that one-on-one work with me that's willing to share how it's helped them or how it's different than the group support. That would be fantastic if anyone's willing to do that.
We did a session, and I just found it's almost like you were a master archer and you just kept hitting the bullseye every time.
That's a beautiful description. Thank you.
You're welcome. And the questions that you asked really helped me to think, but it was almost like it bypassed my mind. I don't know how to describe it, but I was able to get pictures of memories as we talked, and got to some early messages that were part of the programming, I think, that has kept me from achieving success with dieting or, you know, other things. And so I found it to be very, very useful. And afterwards, I really did feel like it was cleared up. It was like clearing a closet. All the things that I didn't wear anymore or didn't need were gone. And, you know, there was room for something new.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being willing to share your experience. I appreciate it. Really, when we have mastery in relationship to ourselves, in relationship to others, which is my specialty, it's what I've studied at length, and you know, we're working on a relationship with food, but there's a lot of underneath things that our relationship with ourselves, relationship with others, and so doing this work, you can change your relationship with yourself, with your food, have mastery over that, as well as changing your relationships in business, in intimacy, in, you know, communication. There's just innumerable ways that it touches your life when you have self-mastery in relationship. In the other concepts, you'll see that a lot of them involve support, like concept 3 is community or social support. So there are other ways to get support, and I'm going to list some of those. Last week, we went over the questions, are you a food addict, are you an emotional eater? So there are programs out there, like 12-step programs is one example, that you can have free ongoing group support, which is fantastic. It's something I use in my program, in my wellness program of what keeps me sane and happy and healthy. Social support is having friends that live this way. There are many ways to get that, but support is so important, and supporting yourself. Another way to get support, which is concept 9, is using universal support. And so this can be however you name it. It can be the energy of the universe. It can be the breeze in the trees. It can be God. It can be your higher power. But that you embody that there's something more than you out there. And I love this analogy. I love to think of the ocean. If you have the whole ocean, that's all one substance, right? And in it is water and salt and lots of different things and sea creatures. But this water is so powerful, it can create a tsunami. It can cover continents. It's huge. So you take a cup of that water and you separate it, it's still the same source, it's still the same substance, but you put it in a cup, and in that cup it's very separate and not that powerful, right? So when you have a group, you know, when you put that cup back into the ocean and now you're with a group of cups, that separation is gone and there's so much more power. And so that's an explanation of how a group power works, of how there's more than just your little finite self out there. And so concept 9 is inviting that bigness, inviting that vastness, inviting God, inviting source, inviting the higher power of having more than one person involved in this weight loss, involved in this recovery. And so what that looks like for you will evolve, and you can design it yourself. What it looks like for me is prayer. And my prayer has changed over the years, but I invite my higher power, God, to take care of this, to give me the strength to commit, you know, to give me the strength to get through the day for what I've committed to change, to give me the willingness to ask for help when I need it, to give me the support and bring to me what I need to learn and grow and be in better health, better happiness, better sanity, better abundance. So concept 9, and 9 is the number of completion, and it's just having something outside yourself, like you're not alone, it's not all you. You can call on it any moment of any day. So we've gone through the 9 concepts of building your own daily design for living, so you can start to create your own program for living. And the program for living is, what can you do with concept number 1? What can you do one day at a time that will get you to mastery? What can you do one day at a time that will add up to over 1,000 days so that your brain is just wired for success? I want to go over how grieving applies to lifestyle change. Grieving happens when we have a loss. I mean, of course, death, that causes grieving. But when we have a death to a way of life, whether it's food or a relationship or a behavior that we choose to let go of, even if it's totally positive, like eating healthy and losing weight is completely positive. There's no negative return on your body and your mental state when you make that choice. It doesn't mean that it's easy and you don't go through a grieving process. So how does that look in terms of food? The 5 steps of grieving do not happen in order, and often we bounce back and forth from step to step to step to step until we finally get to the last step with it, which is true acceptance. And I know we've talked about on the calls the triple A spirit: awareness, acceptance, and action. So the 5 steps of grieving are denial or isolation, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. So I'll share with you how I jumped through these with my process of learning a new way of living and eating. So how that looks in regards to food is, you know, mine was kind of clear because I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, you have to give up sugar, and you need to lose at least 20 pounds. I lost 60 that year. and he told me I was pre-diabetic. So I actually went to the doctor and got diagnosed, right? This happens to other people that get diabetes, or they have cancer, or they get a diagnosis. You may have not gotten a diagnosis around food. You may have. But maybe doing this program, you're like, wow, I'm an emotional eater. Maybe that was a new revelation for you. Maybe not. Maybe you did that questionnaire and you're like, wow, I might be a food addict. Or, wow, the way that I've been eating isn't giving me the results that I want. And you have this realization. So a realization happens and you decide, wow, I want to let something go. So when you chose to do this program, you had a realization that what the results that you were having isn't what you wanted. So whatever it is that brought you there, you made that decision. And what can happen unconsciously or consciously is that immediately we go into denial. We go, you know, I went into denial like, well, you know, what I've done hasn't really gotten me here, and I don't really want that. And my denial was mixed with the bargaining. So my bargaining looked like, well, I'll only eat sugar on Sundays, or I'll only eat what I want one day a week. And then that didn't really stick. So then bargaining looked like, I'll only eat bad things, which was my judgment then, so I'm using the words that I used in that time. I'll only eat bad things if I go to an event, like a wedding or party or to somebody's house. When I'm at home, I'll eat perfectly. Well, that never stuck, so let's bargain some more. I'll only have one treat a week. That didn't stick. Let's bargain some more. So you can see that I tried, you know, only in the evenings, only once a day, only once a week, only on Sunday, only with other people. And on it went until I, you know, it kind of beats you down into acceptance. Like, I can't do that. You know, that was my story. Like, that just didn't work for me. And I kept trying to bargain, how can I have what I want? How can I have my cake and eat it too? That's really what I was trying to bargain. So none of that is bad. It's research. It brings awareness. Awareness is the first step to freedom. If we're not aware, we're in denial. So you can see how bargaining and denial can fit together. I was also angry. Angry happens like, I don't feel this way today, but I felt angry like, well, why is that person get to eat what they want and stay thin? Or why does that one get to do this? And I was angry that I was pre-diabetic. I was angry that I was overweight. I was angry that what I was doing wasn't working for me. I was really pissed off, actually. So I'm not angry today. I have a value of health. I've had a core value of health since I was a little girl. And so my aspiration has always been to eat healthy. And I don't look at people that get to eat what they want anymore and envy them. I look at people that eat fantastic and they have vital energy, and I go, oh, I want to be like that, you know. So depression happens. Depression, when you give up sugar and flour, happens on a physical level because your brain needs to heal. That sugar and flour triggers the pleasure center in your brain. It gives you some of the drugs your body is seeking. So depression happens. You may have bad days because of a physical withdrawal. Depression also happens because we're not in acceptance. So this is what my depression looked like. Oh, I'm screwed. I'm pre-diabetic. I have to give up sugar. This totally sucks. Poor me. Pity party. I'm different than other people. Not only did God make me an alcoholic, but now this, what a jerk he is. You know, I had this really bad attitude in the beginning. And that's not acceptance. That's depression. That's anger. That's denial. That's bargaining. I mean, I did the dance for this for a while I did research and gained awareness in how to come to acceptance. When you hit acceptance, what that looked like for me was like, I can share it with you with the alcoholism too. Like, I'm an alcoholic. That's a fact. I grieved it. I did all that dance with it. And it's like, okay, so I'm diagnosed this. This is the fact of my DNA, my body. And now what are the courses of treatment so that I can be the happiest and healthiest I can be? And so I sought out that course of treatment and I stick with it. And I don't have any issues with it today. That's not the case for a lot of people. So same thing with food. When you, and that's why I take you through the journey that I take you on in these 90 days, is to help you get awareness of your own body. There's no cookie-cutter way to take care of yourself, but the way to acceptance is awareness, and it's being honest with yourself. So what foods can you safely eat that don't hurt you physically, that don't make you swell, that don't make you feel bad mentally? You know, there's people on this call that have shared that they have some items that may not be on our basic weight loss program, and they don't feel bad after mentally at all, and it's not affecting their weight loss. It may slow it down or whatever, but it's not making them not lose weight. That's not a problem for them. Now, there may be some other people on the call that eat that same food, and they swell up the next day, or they have mental anguish over eating it. And so all I ask is that you be 100% honest with yourself when you're taking this inventory of what gives you the results you want. If I eat something and I feel badly about it, that's not the results I want, because that 2 minutes on my lips was not worth the hours of mental anguish it caused. So just bottom lining it, getting really honest. And then that is how you design, you know, your maintenance. And we'll talk about numbers, because there is a mathematical equation of maintaining your weight, but really getting this awareness around food of what brings you the results you want. What'd you write in your vision? What'd you want mentally, physically, and in your life? Is the actions you're doing supporting that? I know for me, I go downhill really fast when I do actions that don't support the vision that I want. And then I have to get to this place of willingness to ask for any support that I need to get me back into those actions. I can't do it alone. I am a person that tries everything alone because I just don't want to ask for help. And, you know, I just fall on my face over and over and over again until I get the support that I need. And sometimes I have to beat myself down into so much pain before I'm willing to be lifted up. So allow your vision to be so big, it pulls you into right action. It doesn't have to be pain pushing us anymore. It can be vision pulling us. Having such commitment, such clear vision that you're willing to do any actions that it takes to match that vision. And if you're not able to do it on your own, that you're willing to get any support you need to match that vision. Does anybody have questions around how the stages of grieving affect this new lifestyle process? Mourning?
Okay. Can you just list each one of the stages one more time?
The stages of grieving are denial and isolation. That's stage one. And like I said, these do not go in order. You might be doing two of them. You might be flip-flopping back and forth. But this grieving process is beautiful. And dive into it and go through it. And what it takes you to is acceptance. And it takes what it takes to get acceptance. So number one, denial and isolation. Number two is anger. Number three is bargaining. Number four is depression. Number five is acceptance. Reaching the stage of acceptance is getting through the denial, getting through the bargaining, finally surrendering. And we can get the lasting gifts that acceptance brings.
Okay, I just wanted to read a couple affirmations because I was just reading about this last night and a couple affirmations stuck out to me about, you know, what we're talking about and it just seems fitting. Is that all right?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for your contribution.
Okay. Sure. So the first one is, I accept that the life I have known is over. And I just think that is really powerful when, you know, dealing with a way of living is no longer working, you know, and just really, for me, you know, acceptance doesn't always come easy, but I know affirmations and of reminding myself tend to help. So the next one is, I move into a new and blessed phase of my time here. And I think those two really speak to what, you know, we're talking about today.
So in speaking of letting go, I would love to know, any of you, I'd love to give you hot seat, spot on coaching right now of what do you need to let go of that would help you have more acceptance? What do you need to let go of that will give you more acceptance? Or if you want to share, like if we were reading this bargaining, anger, depression, denial, if one of those popped out at you and you were like, oh my gosh, I'm doing that, share that and let me support you.
I definitely can relate to all of those stages, specifically bargaining, depression.
Bargaining and depression.
Mm-hmm.
So in what ways do you imagine you've been bargaining, or can you give some examples of your bargaining?
Yeah, if I've eaten on the diet all week, or even all day, like say I had that all day, but then it's like the end of the day, oh, well, I was good today, so I can go off the diet. Or it's easy for me to eat on a diet alone, but then when I'm with people, I just go straight to whatever they want to have or whatever looks good to me in the moment. So it's, I guess, bargaining in that, like, oh, well, I'm with people and I'm with my, you know, my loved ones and my friends, so... or I'm relaxing, so I get to have something, or whatever it is.
Yeah, so what I'm hearing is, like, the conversation that you have with yourself gives you permission to do something that you didn't want to do, and
right.
After you do it, how do you feel?
I feel guilty.
Okay. And so this is what I was explaining earlier. Like, there are, and this is our different DNA, and our different emotional makeup, and there's no right or wrong, and so I really want to put that out there, but it's just about your own truth. So there are people that can do what you're describing, and they don't have to have a conversation around making it okay, and then they don't feel bad after. And there's nothing broken in you for feeling the way you do. It's when our bodies are beautifully designed, and when we do something that doesn't support it fully, we do feel guilt. We do feel shame. And it's not because of the exact action. It's because whatever we're doing doesn't support us personally, because our bodies are beautifully designed to communicate that to us. And I even did the bargaining where it's like, well, I'm just mentally deficient because I went through the same thing that you're describing right now. Well, if I can just change my thoughts around doing that and be okay with it, then I'll, you know, that's what's wrong. And what I found out is my body was beautifully communicating with me, and I just had to get acceptance around, I don't want to do the things that make me feel shame or guilty, because my body's smart. And when I feel shame or guilt, those are things that it doesn't want to do. I think part of it is that having acceptance that we might be different than some other people. We're not different than everybody. There's so many of us that are alike. And truly falling in love with the uniqueness of who you are and embracing the behaviors that make your body go, mmm. So tell us a behavior that makes your body go, mmm. That you do, that just fills you with love for yourself and makes you feel good when you do it.
Getting 8.5 hours of sleep at night.
Yeah, so your body feels really good when you treat it in that way.
Mm-hmm. When,
yeah, and do you do that often, or is that something you're struggling with?
I vacillate between 7 and 8 hours a night, so it's not too bad, but my body just really wants 8.5. I don't know why, but it's just 8.5 or 9. Even just 8 isn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
I still just don't feel rested, so it's something that I struggle with.
So I would invite, I love that you brought this up, and thank you for being vulnerable and sharing your bargaining process. And I, too, shared that process, and I believe it's all wonderful. It's a wonderful research. You're doing research on yourself right now, and so I want to invite you into that space of just self-love and self-forgiveness, that you're just doing research on what works and what doesn't work, and you don't need to beat yourself up for doing something that didn't work for you. It's just gathering enough research to have surrender. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And is there anything else you want to share about that?
No, I think, you know, that's helpful, really helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, and so I think the action step, and I'd love to challenge you all to that this week, is that awareness worksheet. And you don't have to use the worksheet, but if you need a mental reminder of how to do it, like, you're doing research on your own body. You're gaining awareness, which is a bridgeway to acceptance. So my challenge for you and everyone else on the call this week is to really just take a truthful inventory and remove the judgment. You know, it's not good or bad. It's just, is this behavior, is this action giving me the results that I want? Whether it's sleeping, you know, if you sleep 6 hours and you're like, shit, that didn't give me the results that I want. It doesn't have to be like, oh, my God, I'm terrible. I didn't get to bed on time. I'm so stressed out. You know, we don't have to go into our story about things, but really step out of it in that one day at a time concept and say, oh, well, that sucked, and that wasn't really the result that I wanted. So I want you guys to break it down that simple. Does this behavior, does this action produce the result that I want? And if the answer is no, then we'll move into the other steps of how do we change that? How do we get the support we need to change that? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But let's keep it that simple this week, like just stepping back from the judgment and just saying, does this food, does this action, does this give me the result that I want? And what I want to invite you guys into too, and maybe this will be pertinent, I was talking about this to my family, as I moved away from my family to really embrace my own health and my self-care. And so, but sometimes when we're in social settings or we have a lifestyle and we really want to do something different, we have to change what we've been doing. Like, I've heard this, if you hang out in the barber shop long enough, you'll eventually get a haircut. And so for me, I had to radically change the scenery that I was around, the family that I was around, the people that I hung out with, the activities that I did for a long enough time that I could live in the behaviors and the lifestyle that I wanted. And now when I go back into that, I'm okay because it's not my life anymore. And so we have to be either in so much pain, we're willing to give up whatever we got to give up to have something new, or we have to have such clear commitment and vision that we're willing to give up whatever we got to give up to have our vision. And that's the grieving process. I had to grieve family. I had to grieve friends because that did not support what I was trying to become and what I was trying to do. And so I'm not telling you you have to get rid of family and friends. For me, that was the truth. But you have to be willing to let go of the things that don't support you in keeping the new behaviors you're trying to get. And it may be only letting go a little bit. It may be letting go radically. So it's really just about taking an honest inventory of what you truly want and then looking at what things help it and what things hinder it. And sometimes in my life I have to get that clear. Like if I have a vision of what I want, I have to base every decision that I make. Does this support my vision? No. Okay, don't do it. Does this support my vision? Nope, don't do it. Does this support my vision? Absolutely. Okay, great. I can do more of that. And sometimes I have to get that cut and dry. And what I'm inviting you into is being that cut and dry in the beginning helps you get the 40 days, the 90 days, the 120 days, the 1,000 days. After you have that, it's just such a habit. That is your life. You're not changing your life anymore. It's changed. And it becomes easy. It becomes mastery. So I'd love to know if anyone else needs support or wants to share if they're in one of the stages of grief.
Well, good morning, good morning. Starting this past weekend was the first of three weekends where I spend with a bunch of terrific people and with lots of fellowship and lots of fabulous things going on and lots of extraordinary food and the best liquor. And I mean, it's just an extraordinary thing. And because I of my very big resolve to lose weight, as I discussed with you, I know that the things that I had to do going into this weekend was cut down on portions, which I did, and avoid a lot of sweets, which I did fairly well, and I kept the drinking to a minimum. I was social, but I didn't over imbibe, and I knew that any weight that I would gain, I anticipated gaining weight, and I had no guilt about that whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And so I have done so well before that I was preconditioned for success. And so I started off at 217, you know, and I got down to 200 this weekend by taking care not to indulge myself too much. I only picked up 2 pounds. And in my mind, this is okay because the easy on is also easy off.
Yeah.
And so I fully anticipate that before next weekend, when I'm going to do it again, that I will be back to 200.
Yeah.
And but there's no remorse here. There's no guilt. I'm fully anticipating that I'm going to gain a little bit of weight, which I have, and I'm going to be able to take it off because I'm locked in, especially with breakfast and lunches. You know, and I take the flax, which I've never taken before, and I have a feeling that it's really helping me. And portions and bread. I have not had any bread. No, I had a hot dog this weekend, so that was the only bread that I've had in 5 weeks.
Yeah, good.
And so I know that if I just avoid large portions, avoid bread, minimize anything sweet, and don't drink too much, I'm going to be in good shape. And I know it, and I feel very good about it. And I'm on a program that works. I love it. I love you, and I love everybody and all the comments they make. And I see nothing but success ahead.
Yay. May I use your story as a bit of an example?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So is one of the people that I worked with that has huge commitment to his vision. And so it's just unshakable. And the beauty in what he's sharing, you know, I believe in, you know, I'm not a doctor, I'm not diagnosing, but I believe some people have physical allergy. I don't believe you do, which is fantastic. And I want to say that Brian makes the decision first, like we made a plan. And he didn't care if he lost weight during this time, but he had a plan to get through this period of time, have some enjoyment, have some pleasure. And the wonderful thing with the mental part, like what we were talking about earlier, how we feel shame or we feel bad after we do something, when you make a plan and you stick to it, it boosts your confidence. It makes you feel fantastic. And it doesn't matter if the plan included some moderation, like he talked about having some beverages, having a little of this. He had a hot dog. But we had a plan. He stuck to it. He did what he wanted to do and had success, right? So the pain comes. Yeah, fantastic. You're doing awesome. The pain comes when we make that plan and then we do something totally different and then we beat ourselves up over it. So it's really making, you know, conscious decisions of what we want to do and then being willing to go to any lengths to stick to it, where we get support, where we have, you know, whatever it takes. And that's part of the research, is we don't know what it takes. So we learn what doesn't work and then we try something new. And I want to congratulate you on doing this.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Say, let me, I get reinforcement from what I'm doing because a lot of the guys said, Brian, you look absolutely fantastic. What are you doing?
Yay.
You must be working out, you know. No, I've even had some ladies say, you look very handsome today. And, you know, and they didn't say that before. So anyway, I'm getting support from strangers and other people that I know who really appreciate what I'm doing.
That's awesome. I love it.
Yeah.
Fantastic job.
Okay, thank you.
I think I've covered all the material I want to hear today. So I would love to end on a positive note, and so I will share a positive success, and it's that if you are committed to this way of life and you're continually doing it, no matter what it looks like, whether you feel like you're stumbling or you're not doing it or you fail or whatever the story is you tell yourself, as long as you stay on the path, you will get there. The only sadness is if you quit and give up. You stay on the path, be kind to yourself. Don't judge what you're doing. Just take it as research. You are your own body's research scientist. Be 100% honest and be kind. Have a fantastic day.